T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick back earlier today in training camp. Me, Mike Dettillier, and the Cannon sat down with Saints punter Blake Gillikin. Here it is.
Blake, a week into camp, how do you feel like it's going so far?
I feel it's going really well, just as a whole. You know, you're starting to see some new leaders emerge. Had a lot of, brought in some veteran guys that are doing a great job for us and really helped this team grow. And I think personally, I'm not kicking too much. I'm hoping to be really fresh for this season, and it's going really well so far.
Blake, when you look back, you know, as a youngster and in high school and then at Penn State and then where you're at now, how much has it changed, you know, when you analyze and you want that perfection, directional kicking? It seems like, and even the Aussie kick, you know, you used to drop it on your foot, you know, in the spiral. It's amazing the science now to me of punting and how far it's come.
Yeah, it's come a long way. I'd say I really started directionally punting in college. And the dimensions of the field are very different from high school to college to the NFL. The hash is getting narrower and narrower, so it gets more difficult to put it near the sideline. You're sacrificing more distance. The ball's fading further when you get to the NFL. And I think, you know, you're seeing everybody in the league directionally punt now. And I think analytically, people have found that when you can put it into traffic outside the numbers where the gunners are running, you're either going to get a fair catch or something's going to happen. And I think, you know, people are starting to pay attention to that. And the analytics have been big help for me, you know, with ball speed and launch angle and stuff like that.
And it's come a long way. And, Blake, when you look at even the Aussie kick, would you say all NFL punters have that capability? And when do you utilize, like, how close you have to be? Because I noticed outside, what, you had, like, 3 in a row you hit inside the five-yard line.
Yep.
Is that why you did Aussie kick, because the kickback? And I know it's a lot of questions there, but...
No problem. I think, you know, the Aussie kick is something I learned in college. I never used it before then. And the theory behind it is if it's turning end over end, it's either bouncing forward or backward 95% of the time. So... what you do is you put a guy at the goal line. If it's going to hit the ground, you put a guy at the goal line. You have a guy at the 10-yard line. If you put it at the 5, it's going to bounce to one of them. So that's really the theory behind it. It's easier to control. It obviously came over from the AFL, Australian Football League. And, you know, there's guys that are better at it than others. And there's also guys who are starting to hit what's called a banana punt.
What is that?
Which is where you kind of hold it perpendicular to your foot instead of parallel for a spiral. And you kind of get it rotating like a helicopter. And what it does, it goes up, falls to the right, and then falls back to the left that's coming to the ground. And it's very, very hard to catch. Johnny Hecker does it. Logan Cook does it. And it's very effective, but it's also very risky. Because if you hit it wrong, it goes off the side of your foot into the stands.
So who invented the banana kick? You know where that came from?
I'm not sure where it originated. I want to say maybe Sam Cook in Baltimore. Because I know he was kind of the first guy to really try out a lot of different kicks. And, but some guys are better. I'm not great at it, so I don't really do it.
Yeah.
So, so just like in college, you see a bunch of rollout punting.
Yeah.
I didn't really do it because I wasn't good at it.
Yeah.
So guys really, you know, hone their skills, pick up punts they're really good at, and that's what they stick with.
Blake, how much time do you spend during the season on the return man that you know is going to return that punt? And secondly, dealing with the elements of a November and December where you're going to get wind, you're going to get possible rain, snow, and the effect on your punts.
Yeah. To answer your first question, we spend some time on the returners. I know who's back there, but it doesn't really affect what I do that much. I mean, I'm trying to force a 50-yard fair catch most times. There's not really anybody in this league who can't play. So it's not like college where you're playing a D1 AA team and the guy's not going to catch the ball. Like, the guy's going to go catch the ball and get 10 good yards or 15 good yards. But, you know, through scouting, I remember we played Braxton Berrios from the Jets. Really good returner. He just gets north and south and gets about 15 yards of return. Whereas you'll have guys that, if you put it near the gunners, they'll try to bounce it out. And that's when you can tackle them for a loss on a return. So I kind of, you know, I'll say, I know that going into the game, and maybe hang it up a little higher, put it more towards the sideline. And for your second question, playing at Penn State helped me out a lot because I know how to play in those games now. It's not about hitting the biggest ball in November and December. It's whoever can put it, turn the ball over, put it on the sideline, and don't allow a return. Because that's really where your net drops is in November, December. When guys are returning the ball a long way, you're hitting the ball, line drive, ball's cold, the ball's hard. That's when you really have to directionally punt well and use your gunners.
JT Gray, to have him on this team, because it doesn't seem to be, you know, just one guy trying to block him. It's sometimes two. He's fighting that. To have him on your side, it's got to be a great advantage.
Yeah, we were just watching film yesterday of 2020. And to have him and Justin Hardy on the same team was unreal, because those are two of the best gunners in the league. And to still have JT, it's like I said over there, it's a security blanket. I don't have to be perfect every single time. He's going to make me right. And if I am perfect, it's going to be a fair catch. And that's a very big luxury to have. A lot of guys don't have that.
Blake, how many individuals do you think, like young kickers, punters in high school, you know, always say the more you could do.
Yeah.
Do you actually see punters like also doing maybe the kickoff?
Right.
And just talk about that aspect of it, that it's the skill set to kick off, let's say, versus like punting.
I'd say it's completely different. You know, punting is further from field goal than it is from kickoffs. Kickoffs is really about just throwing your leg through the ball violently. Punting and kicking field goals are completely different technically. That's why you don't see people doing both. Some punters have huge legs and they kick off. I think we actually came up with a number yesterday. I think there's 6 punters that kick off in the NFL out of 32. So less than 20%. I thought it was more than that until I actually went through the teams. But I kicked off in high school. I practice them every so often. You know, I kicked off twice last year against Washington with an injury. That's really when it comes up for me. I try to keep it sharp. I tried to kick some field goals last year in practice. I got yelled at, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'll be doing that this year. But it's good to have, you know, different tools in your bag.
How comfortable are you as the holder?
Very comfortable. You know, having a great snapper really helps out. You know where the ball is going to be. You know where the laces are going to be. And I'm really back there to make him right in case he misses. That's basically my job. I pride myself in having great hands. I played baseball for a long time. But just really giving those guys what they want, helping them out as much as possible, maybe being there for maybe a little, I don't know, a couple words before a kick. And then, you know, when it's windy, just trying to kind of have a discussion, figuring out what the line's going to be, total of the ball, all that stuff. You know, it's really simple stuff.
And, Blake, when you look at as far as – I asked you this earlier, but – like passing the torch, and not necessarily if mentor is the right word.
Yeah.
Relationship like with a guy who's lasted, still kicking in the league, like Thomas Morris did.
Yeah.
And I've described you on the radio that Blake Gillikens is a better version of Thomas Morris did. Now, I know you just starting out, but I said, I don't know, you want to comment on that compliment.
I'm not sure about that comment yet,
just the relationship with him, and then, right. And then also this offseason, I was looking at OTAs, and this I think he's from Australia, Whalen.
Yeah.
It seems like he should be in somebody's camp the way you'd see him booted now and then. That's pretty impressive.
So. I know. I also responded to your Morstead comment first. I'm completely different punter than Thomas, which is funny.
In which way?
No one will ever punt like Thomas Moore said again. You'll never see it again. He was so good directionally, so consistent. His best ball will be 49 yards, 4-9 on the sideline. And I don't hit that ball. I hit the ball 55, 4-7, 4-8. So I don't really have that same trajectory he did. He was so repeatable, so consistent. I'd almost say he was unorthodox because he was so simple. And like he said, I said that to him one day, and he said that's like one of the biggest compliments you can give me because that's exactly what I'm trying to do. And, you know, my belief is every punter is going to punt differently because you're built different, your anatomy's different. You have different muscle strengths and weaknesses. And, I came in here last year and I basically told myself, you try to be the best punter that you are and not try to live up to what he did. And I think I've got a long way to go to even come close to what he did here. I'm just hoping to stack a couple more seasons on top of what I did last year and hopefully be here for a long time.
Now, what about...
I'll talk to you about Daniel Whalen,
too.
Yeah, I think Dan's a great punter. You know, I wish I had his frame. He's about 6'6", 225. And whenever I see a punter like that, I go up to him being like, man, if I had your frame, I'd never have to work another job in my life. But unfortunately, I don't. I think he's really, really good punter. I think the only unfortunate part is no one else got to see what he did in camp. That the practice film isn't public. And I think he did a really, really good job. He deserves to be somewhere. He's just as good as a lot of punters in this league right now. And it was great having him here, helping him out a little bit. You know, I think, especially for a young guy like that, he didn't really have a lot of experience holding in college, so he worked really hard on that. I saw him improve a lot. And it's just little things you think about, you know, get off time, holding, all that other stuff that comes with being a really good NFL punter, that he's really worked on really hard. He didn't really do a lot of that in college, and I saw a lot of growth in that.
Now, Blake, throughout. One last thing. Why Penn State? Was that a family tradition or just Penn State football, or how did you end up there?
I honestly didn't know about Penn State when I got to high school. I mean, I went to high school in Georgia. Like, you'd see it on TV, but it's not – it's like, oh, that's Penn State. Cool. And I figured out, you know, while I was in high school, I wanted to go somewhere and try something different. You know, everybody from my high school went to Georgia and Georgia Tech, and I had offers in both those schools and considered them hard. But at the end of the day, I wanted a different experience, and that's – you know, I showed up in the summer, and they offered me a scholarship, and it was beautiful. It was like 85 degrees, and – like, this place is awesome. I didn't take a pair of boots up there or anything. I called my dad in like November. I said, Dad, we need to get a pair of boots. Snowing. And yeah, it was a different experience. I really enjoyed myself up there. And I think just personally, punting wise, it's going to help me out, especially with some of these cold games. I mean, for example, like Dan Whalen, he played in California. So what is he going to give you in cold weather?
Right.
You don't know. Right. It could be great, but that's something that's like a learning curve. If you've never done it, you have to figure it out. And, you know, I think Penn State prepared me really well for cold weather, wind, all that stuff.
Blake, thanks. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Blake.
Blake Gillikin, Saints punter. And a different perspective, really intriguing insight there on the science, really, Bobby, of punting that Blake Gillikin uses. And he, when I say this, it's not going to be, I'm not taking a shot at kickers and punters, but he doesn't strike you like, he doesn't have an aura of a typical kicker and punter. I mean, he's just different.
Well, he's highly intelligent. I mean, how he's going about his craft. He's almost, instead of going to his third year, this could be like he's going into his 13th year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As far as I'd be shocked if you don't have the longevity of a career, the sustained career like a Thomas Morstead. Like you said, you know, he's excited. They text with Morstead, and you look at Morstead. He was like, the only thing at the back end of your career, you are a mercenary. What did Morstead go from the Jets to the Falcons? And I want to say that now he's with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, correct? No, all you have to do is, and you get paid well, and now the years of service, and, you know, you have free time. What other job could Morstead get right now and get $1 million a year?
Well, yeah, he's going to work on his punting. And, try and stay healthy and take advantage of this opportunity. All he has to do, like if we're willing to be in the top 32, you don't have to be the best of the best. Because can you be in the top 32 in the world to punt in the National Football League, and then you have a job?
By the way, this is a perfect comparison. We all love Timo, right, Thomas Morstead? But we would have never talked to him for 13 minutes in an interview. Never. That's just not his personality.
No, he's a lot, quieter is the right word. Maybe shy a little more.
I would say just measured.
Measured, yeah, more measured.
Measured
but,
in his words.
But Blake Gilligan, he was telling it like it is.
Yeah. All right, we'll get the sounds from Saints training camp when we come back. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.